We're gathered together, we're looking at the Lord's Prayer, and six parts of that prayer are patterns for us, that we should pattern our prayers after the Lord. We do quote the Lord's Prayer, and that's good and helpful for us to remember, but there are six parts the Lord gave us that we should incorporate into our prayer time. So we're learning to pray all over again. There is a book on the back table. It's free for you to take. It is a book that I wrote many years ago now on spending time alone with God and what God has taught me about that precious time of being alone with God and how we should order our prayers in a way that glorifies Him. And it really helps to amplify your prayer time and make it joyful, because many people find it difficult to pray and really don't know what to pray. So Jesus has given us the pattern and told us what to do. The first three of those six patterns are about God Himself. Be still. And so you come into His presence and you just quiet your heart and get ready. And then you enter His gates with thanksgiving. Give Him thanks for all the things you can think of. And then you give Him praise for who He is, remembering that God is all-powerful and able to do immeasurably more than we ask or think. That's pretty simple, right? And God has given us that introduction to the time with the Lord. It's just about God instead of about us. Then the second three are about us. It's about us adjusting ourselves to come into God's presence. And the first one of those is to confess sin. We saw that last week. The Word of God says, if I have sin in my heart, God will not hear me. And so we need to get that out of the way, get it confessed, and be covered with the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious blood. And the next one is the one we're dealing with today, and that is to clothe yourself. To clothe yourself in the righteousness of Christ. And we find that in the Lord's Prayer when the Lord says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, I'm using my lapel mic today because I'm going to move around and I'm going to get in your face. So I'm going to choose some people as volunteers, and you're going to be drafted into helping me out, okay? Everybody looks frightened. Good, because that's part of my first illustration. Let me come down here. Is that on? Okay. I'm going to come down here because one of the things we face when we pray is the devil doesn't want us to pray. That's why Jesus said, incorporate this into your prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us, and the original says, from the evil one. The devil seeks to stop you from praying by intimidating you, making you feel less worthy than you are before the throne of God. So I need somebody I can pick on this morning. Brian, you're going to be the one I pick on. Come on up here. Come on up here. And I'm just walking around. I was going to pick on him, but I thought I'd liable to bust something up and he can't have surgery. So, Brian's a tough guy. He's really a tough guy. But if I were bigger than him, let's pretend I'm bigger than you.
Okay.
I didn't want him to go somewhere. I could push him around. I could just start nudging him, pushing him, shoving him, say, get out of here. You're no good. You're rotten.
Go back to my seat.
And then I'll ask your wife, is he any good? And she'll say, no, he does this wrong, he does that wrong. And I start beating up. You can go back to your seat. Start beating up on him. And that's exactly what the devil does when you go to God in prayer. He's beating up on you. He's making you feel like a wimp and a pauper, and you have no authority before the throne of God. And most of us believe it. Most of us really take that to our hearts and say, well, then I'm not worthy to pray. I can't pray because God's not going to listen to me. Why should He listen to me? I'm imperfect. Well, that's why Jesus preceded this step with confession. We get that out of the way. And then when Satan comes along to accuse you, say, no, it's under the blood. All my sins are forgiven. Remember that great old song, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song. See, God has ordained that we should not be intimidated in prayer. So this step, this pattern, this pattern of the Lord is that we should adjust our thinking about ourselves when we come to God in prayer. You may be a wimp, you may be a wuss, but once you're confessed your sins and Jesus Christ is your Savior, you're no longer a wimp and a wuss. You are now a child of God. You are now a prince before the throne of God. It is a wonderful illustration, a wonderful way to consider yourself before the throne of God. Thank you, Brian, for being picked on. And there will be others, and they'll have to be ready. Jesus gave us this prayer about clothing ourselves. I call it clothing ourselves because we need to cover ourselves with the righteousness of God. The Apostle Paul says,
Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the new man. Put on the clothes of righteousness and the armor of light and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. So there's some things that we need to do to bolster ourselves and protect ourselves against the attacks of the enemy. We need to be clothed. When our children were little, and now our grandchildren, when they were little, had this wonderful habit of not wanting to take a bath. I heard that amen from the children's choir. They don't want to take a bath. Oh, it's fussy. Run around the house, drag him, kicking and screaming, get him in the bathtub, get her in the bathtub, let him play for a while with the rubber duckies, and they're all happy and wonderful. You finally get them scrubbed up, and then it's time to get out of the tub, and they don't want to get out of the tub. So you finally get them out of the tub, and you start to dry them off, but before you can get them dry, they head out, and they're running buck naked through the house. Happens to everybody, doesn't it? Did it happen to you? Yeah, you know what it's like. They're running all over. Our kids did one thing. Every one of the children, three of them, they did the same thing. Busting out of the bathroom, running through the house with their hands raised, saying, "Nakey time, nakey time, nakey time." Now, that's all fun and well and good for children. But we'd always have to gather them in our arms and say, "No, you can't run around naked. You've got to be covered up." And so we put clean clothes on them. That's what this step is. That's what this means when we come to the throne of God. We need to put our clothes on. We can't run around and say, "I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven." No, you got to put some clothes on. You need to clothe yourself in the righteousness of Christ. You need to see yourself as God sees you. Now that means we need to change our thinking, because most of us see us as we think about us. Or we see ourselves as others think about us. And God says, "No, I want you to think of yourself as I see you before the throne of God." I want you to turn with me to Zechariah. It's in the Old Testament. I know that's difficult to find, but if you start at the end of the Old Testament and move to the left, you'll find Zechariah. And it's a wonderful passage because God has given us a glimpse of heaven. He's talking about Joshua the high priest standing before the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Now you need to mark that down. Because God says this is exactly what happens. When you go to God in prayer, Satan is right there, and he's ready to accuse you. He's going to stand against you. He's going to try to hinder you from praying. In Joshua chapter 3, and we're reading concerning Joshua the high priest. Now, the high priest was the high priest. Pardon? Zechariah, but he's talking about Joshua the high priest. We are in Zechariah chapter 3. He's talking about the high priest. And God gives a vision to Zechariah. And he says, "I saw him, and this is what I saw. And then he showed me Joshua the high priest." Now, this high priest was still serving in Israel. He was still a living being on earth. But God is giving us an insight to what was happening in heaven. "And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, O Satan, and the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire?' Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed in filthy garments." Mark that down. The devil wasn't saying something that wasn't true. Joshua was standing before the Lord in filthy garments. "And the angel said to those who were standing before him, 'Remove the filthy garments from him.' And to him he said, 'Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments.' And I said, 'Let them put a clean turban on his head.' So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by." You ought to mark that passage, because it's a picture of you and me when we come to God in prayer. The devil is always right there at our right hand to accuse us and tell us we have no right to be before the throne of God. But Jesus Christ made the way for us to come before God's throne through the precious blood of Jesus. And so once we are cleansed by Jesus, we can stand in the presence of God, clothed in new garments and with a turban on our head. That means like a crown, identity of who we are in Christ. And Peter says that we are a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a special people. And that's how we ought to come before the throne of God, knowing who we are before the Lord in heaven. I want to apply this passage to our hearts as we deal with clothing ourselves in the righteousness of the Lord. Write these down. You have an insert, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment. And there's a lot of things on that, so don't read it now. Read it when you get home. There's four things I want to point out about this. You are not who you think you are. Joshua thought himself as a filthy servant because he had done things wrong. God says, in Christ we are new creations. We are brand new. We are made something else. And so before the throne of God, God sees us as His children. Second thing is, we aren't what others think us to be. There are a lot of people that grew up with other people pushing you around like I did with Brian, and perhaps parents or teachers or others that just belittled you and made you feel insecure and less worthy than you really are. But God says, you are not who others think you are. And then you aren't what the devil accuses you of being. That's true. God said to Satan, you be quiet. The original Hebrew here is a very blunt word. My wife told me when we got married, we don't use the word shut up anymore. I used it in my home. We were more pagan than my wife's family. So we said shut up a lot. And when I was talking to a dog once, I said shut up. And Marilyn goes, that's a swear word. Well, it's not a swear word because here the Lord says, the Lord rebuke you. And Jesus said the same thing, Satan. Satan, be silent. In other words, shut up. Be silent because you are not telling God's truth. That is what we are to do when we come to God in prayer. When we feel accused, when we feel unworthy, when we feel that we can't get through because we don't have enough righteousness, we stand clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And God says, I'll tell you who you are. And that's the fourth thing. You are what God says you are. That's so important to us, for us to remember. You are not what you feel like you are. You are not what other people think you are. You are not what the devil says you are. You are what God says you are. Now, I've given you an insert, and both sides of those inserts tell you exactly what God says. It's a large insert. Why? Because God repeated it over and over, telling us who we are in Christ, and that we should not call God a liar and believe that we're less than that. We are His children. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We stand worthy to come before the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and grace to help in the time of need. One of the things I did as I was teaching and preaching on prayer was trying to help people identify the fact that they have those attitudes toward themselves. And they don't always come before the Lord. They don't always come before the Lord feeling worthy. So I said, you should get a prayer shawl, because the Israelites always did that. And they had a prayer shawl. That is, when they come to God, they do something with this prayer shawl. They take it and they put it around their shoulders. Now, I don't have my big one. It's being used on a display. But the way they do that is they put it over them. And the priest says a prayer. He lifts it up and he holds it over his head when he says that prayer of blessing, asking the Lord to be with him as he prays. And then he folds it this way across his face. And they say the reason they do that is because you're identifying that you are kept under His wings, on the wings of the eagle, and you are covered by Him. And so I say to my congregation, take a towel, if you don't have any one of these, put that around you when you pray, to recognize to your own mind and your own heart, I am not praying in my own righteousness. I am praying in the righteousness of Christ. I am putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. I am putting on the garment of light. I stand complete in Him. Can I get an amen? $10 for anybody that says amen automatically. No, I'm kidding. We ought to get excited about who God says we are, so that when we come to the throne of God, when we come to God in prayer, we feel worthy. We feel worthy. I think it would change all of our hearts if we had one of these little closets. When we pray, we put that on. And then when the devil says, you're not worthy, he says, I am worthy. Not me, but my God is worthy. And He has put on me the clothing of His righteousness. He has made me complete in Him. You know, God has a lot to say about our position in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. I want you to look at Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. And I want you to recognize that you're in that passage. You are there. When God sees you in prayer, He sees you before the throne of God. And He has clothed you in His righteousness. And He tells the devil, be silent. You have no right and no authority to accuse this one. This is a brand plucked out of the fire. And so Paul says in Ephesians 1, concerning the power of the Lord, that power is like the working of His mighty power when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of the Father in heavenly realms. And then in chapter 2, He applies it to us. He says, as God has raised up Christ from the dead, so He has seated you or us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? God says He has seated you as a believer. As a person that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, He has picked you up and He has put you before the throne of God next to Jesus. So that when you pray, you need to envision that you are like Joshua, a high priest standing before the Lord, and Jesus standing by your side to rebuke the enemy, and He stands with you in prayer. God wants you to see that. He wants you to understand it. In our little booklet on spending time alone with God, I have, in part of that chapter on clothing yourselves in the righteousness of Christ, I have an illustration of what it is to be justified. Do you know what it is to be justified? I didn't know what that meant. But in high school, I was in printing class, and it's the only class where I became the teacher's pet. The teacher happened to be a member of my church, and he knew me, so he gave me special dispensations. I got to do the job cases and putting the letters together for the school newspaper. That's back before the computers. And so you had all these little lead letters, and you'd put them in what's called a job case, and you'd put it there, and you'd write it backwards, and it would come out just the way it should. But what most of us have never noticed, and in most writings, if you look at any book, most of them have justified lines. That is, if you type a letter, it doesn't come out exactly to the end of the line on all of the lines. Yeah, some are shorter, some are longer, because there's spaces in between that have to be filled up to make it justified. That means every sentence comes out to exactly the same point. And I illustrate that here, that it shows. If you look in any book, you'll see the justified line, that on the right side of that paragraph, everything lines up exactly. That's what God means when He said we are justified freely by His grace. God makes up for what's missing. And so when I worked on those job cases and was writing it out, I have to take every sentence and put spaces in to the exact point at which that sentence would end where it should. So everything was lined up properly. God is saying, I have done that for you. You fall short of the glory of God. Your sentence isn't complete, and God says, I'm going to fill up what needs to be there. That's what He does for you and me. And then there's a third thing, and the last thing I want to point out is that as we pray, there's the principle that God has given us of our authority before the throne of God. In Zechariah, He gave Joshua a turban on his head. And it's not mentioned there, but also the high priest had a staff that represented his authority. We have a staff that represents our authority. Most of you know by now, I make walking sticks, and I like walking sticks. This is the biggest one I've made. It was Theodore Roosevelt that said, speak softly and carry a big stick. And I like that, because that's the idea of having a rod of authority. That's what this is. The rod of authority for us is not this stick. It is the Word of God. So when Paul says, put up the shield of faith, it's the Word of God. When he says, use the sword of the Spirit, it's the Word of God. We have weapons against Satan and his kingdom. And when Jesus says, deliver us from evil and from the evil one, he means that we should lift up a standard against the enemy. We should declare who we are. We should use the stick and speak softly, but carry a big stick. I don't believe we need to go around yelling at the devil. All you need to do is take your stand. Back when sticks were walking sticks, they were called staves, and almost everybody had one. Even back into the Middle Ages, people had them. Remember Robin Hood? Robin Hood had a staff, and all of his people had a staff. What they did is they fought others with that. Now, Evelyn, you're the closest. Can I beat you up with this?
No.
No? Okay.
This is a big stick. And I don't care how big you are, I can beat you with this stick. You come at me, I'm coming at you. I've got the weapon. And so I'm going to use it. When we come to God in prayer, Jesus says, I'm giving you a weapon against the enemy. It's not yelling and screaming. It's simply declaring, thus saith the Lord. The Lord has said, no, Satan, you can't accuse me. You can't topple the friends around me. You can't attack my family. You can't cause these diseases that don't need to be in my life. You stand on the authority of the Word of God and you raise that standard against the enemy. And you remember Moses when he raised the staff? There was a battle going on down in the valley. Joshua was down in the valley. That was a different Joshua than Joshua the high priest. He was down in the valley fighting, and Moses was on the mountaintop, and he lifted up his staff. It says he lifted it up with both hands. And as he prayed, he began to win the battle. But when his hands got heavy and they started to droop, they began to lose the battle. So two of his friends came alongside of him, let him sit down on a stone. I like that. They knew how to treat their pastor. Gave him a nice stone to sit on, and then they came alongside of him and helped him to hold his arms up. And the entire day he prayed with the authority of God's rod, and God won the battle. Joshua was down there fighting for all he was worth, and he didn't realize what was going on up the top of the hill. And so when it was all over, Moses said, I want you to be sure to write this down and make sure Joshua reads it. It is not by might nor by power, but by God's Spirit. It's not by your own strength. It's by the strength of His Word that we stand. We stand before God in prayer. That brings us back to the insert you have. That insert has two sides to it. It gives you what God says about you, what He says about your position in Christ and who you are. When you pray, you can use that. Use that to declare who you are in Christ. I won't take the time to read all of them. There's probably 80 or 85 of them. But I am God's possession, God's child, God's workmanship, God's friend, God's temple, God's vessel. And he goes all through these. These are truths from God's Word given to you and me so that when we stand before the Lord in prayer, when we kneel before the Lord in prayer, or when we sit before the Lord and pray, we have authority and we know that God hears and answers our prayers. This is the heritage of the children of God. Now, let me sum this up because I have written it. I've written it out in my book, and I'll give it to you so that you have it. Here's what God says about us. And I'm taking not all of these scriptures, but a good number of these scriptures that tell me who I am. And listen to what God says. He says, you are not who you think you are. You are not who others think you are. You are not even who this devil thinks you are. Here's what God says. I am the head and not the tail. I am a victor, not a victim. I am strong and not weak. I am a saint and not a sinner. I am a child of God, not a child of the devil. I am free and not a slave to sin. I am clean, not dirty. I am above, not below. I am whole, not broken. I am rich, not poor. I am wise, not ignorant. I am adopted, not abandoned. I am strong, not weak. I am kept by the power of God. I am able, not disabled. I am seated in heavenly places in Christ. I am an heir of God. I am joint heir with Christ. I am more than a conqueror. I am a warrior, not a wimp. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No evil can strike me. No plague come near my dwelling. I am safe and secure, kept in the palm of His hand. He that began a good work in me will perform it until the day that Jesus comes again. I am a temple of God. I am indwelt and filled by the Holy Spirit. I am a clean vessel, sanctified and ready for the Master's use. That's what God says. I'm glad somebody said amen. I was in a black church and I presented this, and as I read that, read the same way I read it to you, the whole place burst out in applause, and one of the young ladies just stood up and she went, yes, Jesus! And I thought, well, that's a little more than Presbyterian, but she got the message. This is what God says you are. So I want to encourage you to pick up the book back there and start reading through these chapters. And when you come to this, it's the last prayer in that step of prayer. Read this, who I am, and read it in prayer every day, and acknowledge before God who you are in Christ. You are not a wimp. You're a warrior. You're not a victim. You are a victor. And Jesus Christ is your Savior. and so you will triumph in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of God's word. Oh, Lord, how short we come of knowing and understanding all that you have told us. We certainly don't understand all the things that happen in heaven, but we thank you for the illustration, for that word picture that you gave us of Joshua the high priest standing before the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for that revelation that before the throne of God, you stand by our side. You protect us, you defend us, and you declare us worthy. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close, we're changing the closing song. Would you stand with me? I'm going to lead you in a chorus that many of you probably know, some of you won't. It's called, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free." Let's sing that together. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me my great salvation, so rich and free. Now sing it again. If that's the first time you sung it, you probably won't know the words, but you can hum it. You can at least join together in that way. But let's pray it as our prayer. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Receive the benediction. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Have a great day.